the phone getting us ready for Milwaukee Indy Fest. We're just overflowing with Indy drivers today. Joseph Newgarten dropping by, driver of the number 67 Sarah Fisher Hartman machine. How are you?
Doing well. Excited for the weekend here in Milwaukee.
All right, man. Now, you ran pretty good so far this year, second place at Iowa. How much does that help going into the next oval here in Milwaukee?
You know, it's a big help, you know, looking at past results and saying, hey, you know, we've been pretty successful so far, and we've got it pretty figured out. But really, in IndyCar right now, you just never know what's going to happen. We show up to race weekends all over the place, and no one can predict the winner. It's really crazy. So, you know, for us, we feel confident. I think we've got a good package. We've worked on our Milwaukee setup quite a bit. We were able to test here earlier in the year. But you just never know. I mean, anything can go wrong during a race weekend, and you just hope that everything goes right. So I'm encouraged, but we're staying optimistic and kind of cautiously optimistic.
All right, definitely. Good, cautious optimism is always good heading into a race. Now, you drive, of course, Sarah Fisher's team. What are some of the challenges? It's still kind of a smaller startup team, but definitely making its way up. What are some of the challenges of driving for a smaller operation?
Well, there's many challenges with you know, any group and trying to get a team to mesh well together. And with a smaller group that we have and being a one-car entry, it's the biggest handicap you have is that you don't have multiple cars. And you know, when you're looking at bigger teams, they have multiple cars, multiple engineers, you know, multiple personnel, and everyone kind of works together to find the solution to whatever the problem is for each weekend. And that's really what you're doing when you're showing up to a racetrack. It's all about finding the solution to the problem of that track. You know, what do you got to do to make the car fast? And when you have three cars, you got three more sets of data. Got three sets of data to look through instead of one set, and that just makes everything faster and gives you a better advantage over a race weekend. So that's the biggest challenge we face, you know, among some other things. But it's, you know, one of those things you try and overcome as a small group and kind of take on the big guys.
Well, and you guys have had a relatively positive amount of success so far this year. Kind of seem to be building momentum going forward. Maybe championship contention next year, do you think?
Well, that's a big step. For us, I think, you know, being in the top 10 in the championship has been a really good goal for us this year. You know, we've certainly shown the capability of doing that. We've got to find some consistency, which I think we will. It's gotten better each year, but there's still some hiccups that we've had along the way, and we've tried to figure out. We're a small team that's been growing over the last 3 years. You know, this team's first full season in the IndyCar Championship was only 2.5 years ago. So as a young group, you're going against guys that have been in the championship for 20, 30 plus years. And, you know, it takes time to build continuity and build all the pieces around, you know, the big puzzle. And, you know, I think for us, maybe not a championship contender next year, but I think certainly maybe inching more towards the top five. What we got to start doing is winning races more regularly. That's what's going to get you more into that championship position. And I think we can get there, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if it'll necessarily be quite next year, but I think we're showing the strides that it takes to get to that place eventually.
All right. Now, Sarah Fisher, of course, a former driver herself, competed at Indy, competed at the highest level. Is it tough having a former driver as an owner? Is she kind of looking over the shoulder a little bit here and there, or does she just kind of let you go?
It's probably easier. You know, when you have a person that's your team owner, she's been a driver before, it actually helps because, you know, they're able to understand what you're doing instead of maybe a team owner that's never driven a car before or doesn't really understand. They might not be as understanding in certain situations, where Sarah, she's been there, she's done it, she knows what it's like, so she gets the expectations, but she also gets the stresses and the difficulties and the time restraints that you're on during a race weekend. So sometimes it's a plus, but maybe if you look at it, sometimes it could be a negative too. But it's, you know, it's one of those things. You got a boss. Doesn't matter if she's been a team owner or not. She's, or I should say, a race car driver before. She's your boss, so you gotta make sure to do a good job for them.
All right. Now, you guys had some poor luck earlier this year. Are you now familiar with what the rules are for working on a car under the red?
We are now. yeah, we had a situation in Toronto where we got hit on the first lap and did a lot of damage to the rear suspension of our car. And you know, it wasn't really clear what the ruling was of working on your car under the red, because the red flag had come out immediately. But now I think there's a little bit better clarity on that, And, you know, we understood the rule right before the red flag was over. So there was going to be 5 minutes left, but we had to fix our car. It was like, you know, let's not go many laps down waiting for the red flag to go away, and then, you know, they're going to start parade laps again, and we would lose laps. But we ended up working on it and then just being sent to the back of the grid. But that was fine for us. We went to the back of the pack, and it didn't really matter because we were still in the lead lap. So, yeah, we got clarity on that now, and I think what we did there in Toronto was a good call.
Well, I think the series has kind of done a better job of communicating things. It seemed like there was a little bit of a breakdown kind of that whole weekend, you know, a little, I don't want to say not disastrous exactly, but it didn't seem to be the best weekend for the sport, officiating-wise.
It was difficult. I mean, the weather threw in a monkey wrench just because, you know, I think there was some confusion on if we really should have run on Saturday or not. I mean, that was one of the big topics of Toronto, and I don't think people understood how bad the back straight at Toronto was. I mean, you honestly could not see the person in front of you, and it was a hazardous situation. You know, if they would have gone green on Saturday, it would have been a complete mess. It was a very, very dangerous, hazardous situation. And we love running in the rain. It's not that we don't want to run in the rain. We're plenty capable of doing it, and the cars are capable of doing it, but it was just a bad situation. We couldn't get through the spray on the back straight for whatever reason, and I think that was one of the difficulties of the weekend that we didn't get Saturday in. But, you know, it happens. I mean, you can't always get Mother Nature right. You know, we're looking forward to the future and how we can prevent something like that. You know, if we have to do something to the track design different, or, you know, if we have to do something tire-wise. I mean, we work with all our suppliers and all of our fantastic partners to make that better, but it was just one of those deals.
All right. Now, talk a little bit about the race this coming weekend in Milwaukee. What thoughts on Milwaukee? What's it from a driver's perspective?
Milwaukee's a great track. You know, I'm a little difficult with these questions because I like everywhere we go. Everyone always asks me, what's your favorite track? And I love every track that we race at, because, you know, anytime you're getting into an IndyCar and racing, you know, at a racetrack, it's a good time. I mean, any weekend that you're doing that is good. And I like all the tracks that we do. And Milwaukee's another great one. It's very unique. It's different than anywhere else that we go, which is also a cool thing about the series. You know, every different weekend when we're racing, we go to a very unique place. And Milwaukee's the only place that we go to that's completely flat as an oval, and it's 1 mile long. So you got this short, fast, flat track. It's the only place that we go to like that. And, you know, the differences between Iowa and Milwaukee, some place that you think would be similar, are vastly different. Iowa has bumps. It has big banking. So it's a totally different animal, totally different setup than what you'd run in Milwaukee. And it's a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge to try and make your tires last over a stint, make the car really good so that you can work on both the bottom lane and the middle lane and try and get your traffic. And it's a tough place. It's very physical. It can wear on you. You're pulling a lot of G loads through the corner, and it's a tough one. So we're trying to figure it out, and, you know, I think we got as good of a shot of it as anyone to do well this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joseph Newgarden, driver of the number 67. Don't forget the Milwaukee Indy Fest this entire weekend. All kinds of cool stuff going on. How many bratwursts have you had so far?
None yet. I just got into town, but we'll see what I rack up. I normally always visit the stand.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. Joseph Newgarden, don't forget MilwaukeeIndyFest.com. You want to pick up your tickets for that. Thank you very much for the time, Joseph.
Appreciate it. See you guys after.